Hi, I'm Rod Delmonico. In today's video, we're going to go over the absolutes of hitting. We'd like to break hitting up into three phases: stance, stride, and swing. And then in the last phase, we'll go over hitting drills that we feel like we use here at Tennessee that make our hitters better hitters, that will give you a better idea of how to develop your swing. You know, think about it. Hitting a baseball is probably the most difficult thing to do in sports. If you go out and complete 3 out of 10 passes in football, you're not going to stay around very long. In basketball, if you only hit 3 out of 10 shots, you're not a success out on the basketball court. But in baseball, if you're able to hit 3 out of 10, you're now a 300 hitter and considered a success, even though you failed 7 times. All good hitters have 2 things in common. They're aggressive and they're able to concentrate. And unless you can do those things effectively, you'll never be a good hitter. You can talk techniques all you want, but being able to concentrate from pitch to pitch and being aggressive at the plate are 2 components that all good hitters possess. We'd like to break down the stance, but first of all, let's go over bat selection. So many times you see kids coming to camp or kids coming to University of Tennessee as freshmen or junior college transfers, and the first thing that I've noticed is a lot of them have bats that are too big for them. I know Tony Gwynn uses a 31-inch bat. We see a lot of little league kids that are ages 7 and 8 using a bat that's way too big for them. You've got to get a bat that you can handle, that you can swing through the zone effectively and quickly to generate bat speed so that the ball will jump off the bat. So the first thing that you've got to think about is get a bat that you can handle. Let's don't get a bat that's too big. Another thing about the bat selection is the grip. How do we grip this bat? A couple of things that I will throw at you on the grip. One is choke it up a little bit, especially at an early age as you're starting out learning how to hit, and even on through college and professional. I think of a couple of hitters in Major League Baseball, 2 of the all-time greats, Ty Cobb and Pete Rose. 1 and 2, of course, Pete Rose having more hits than Ty Cobb, both of those guys choked up. Another great hitter in the big leagues is Barry Bonds. And year in and year out, you'll notice he'll hit 40 home runs. He chokes up. So there's got to be something about choking up and being able to have bat control and also allowing you to swing the bat quickly through the zone. Another thought is, how do I grip the bat? Where do I want to put it? Do I want to put it in my fingers? Do I want to put it in the palm of my hands? The key, I think, is to grip the bat in your fingers, just like this. I want the bat in my fingers, and I'm going to line up my middle knuckles. Notice my top hand might split my bottom hand, right by where my ring would go on my ring finger, like this, which allows me to keep the bat out in my fingers and allow me to use my wrist and not lock myself out. If you get the bat too far back in the palm of your hands, you really keep from using your wrist and allowing you to get the most out of that wrist action that you want to drive the ball or pop the bat. When you get to this position here, this is wrist when you throw the head of the bat. So it's a key to keep the bat in your fingers, line up those middle knuckles to start with, and then find a position for that top hand which will allow you to get the most out of the wrist action there. All right, let's look at the 3 types of stances. The first stance is the open stance, which means my right foot is a little closer to the plate than my front foot. With this stance, I like the ball on the inside part of the plate. I'm going to give something up away because I'm opened up. Also, I could have a little bit slower hands, so by opening up, I'm allowing myself to hit the inside pitch and hit it more effectively. Also, some hitters like to open up because they feel like they get a better view of the ball. The other type of stance is what we call the closed stance. The left foot is a little closer to the plate than the right foot, which allows me to hit the outside pitch, but I'm going to have a little trouble turning on that inside pitch. Both stances allow the hitter to hit his spot. The open allows that hitter to hit the inside pitch. The closed stance allows that hitter to drive the ball the other way or hit the outside pitch. As a pitcher, by watching a guy with an open stance, you can immediately see where he wants the baseball, and you can adjust. As the closed stance, we can immediately see that that guy wants the ball away, so we're going to pitch him inside. The third stance allows us to hit 3 zones, and also the pitcher, until he watches me hit a couple of times, really doesn't know which pitch I handle the best. This is called a square stance. And notice that my feet are equally close to the plate. Left foot, right foot. My left foot might be a little bit slight closer to the plate, but we call this a square stance, which allows me to hit three zones, the pitch in, the pitch middle, and the pitch away. And that's the stance that we're going to show you today, which will allow you to hit three different zones. But also, let's talk about in front of the box or behind the box. Notice that the hitter that stands in front of the box is going to have to give something up. That is, a guy that throws pretty quick, he's going to have to be a little quicker on the inside pitch. But it does allow him to hit the breaking ball before it breaks at the bottom end of its break. If I back up in the back part of the box, I'm now able to get a little more time on the fastball to see it, but I'm going to hit the bottom half of the breaking pitch. So you're going to give something up. It all depends on what you're trying to accomplish. Normally, a guy that's off speed, you're going to move up in the box. A guy that throws a little bit harder, you might back up in the box. We like for our hitters to pretty much stand off the back corner of the box and get to a position to where they can cover the inside pitch, the pitch down the middle, and also the outside pitch. If I get too far off the plate, I'm not able to hit that outside pitch and cover it, as you can see. And also take into consideration that a pitcher is going to be able to work with a couple inches off either side of the plate, or maybe more. It all depends on what the umpire is going to give him on that particular day. So if I'm off the plate and now he's getting a couple inches on the outer half of the plate, then I'm going to have a tough time reaching that outside pitch. So it does matter where you stand at the box. Those are just a few tips. Once we get into our stance, we'll see how that works best for us. If you look in the big leagues, you'll see a lot of different stances. And what we're going to try to do today is give you a stance that keeps you away from different extremes, whether you're open, you're closed, your hands real high, hands real low, which will allow you to build a stance from the feet up that will give you the best opportunity to hit the ball consistently. Let's first start off with the feet. If you look at the University of Tennessee play baseball, you'll notice that the hitters, most of them, have a wide base. And that is that their feet are wider than their shoulders. This allows two things. It gives them balance and helps them out when they go to the stride to keep from overstriding. What we want to try to do is get our feet more than shoulder width apart, and we're going to take our knees, and our knees are inside our ankle. Our weight is on the balls of our feet, not on our heels. From this position here, I'm going to get slight flexion in my knees, and I want to bend at the waist so that I throw my weight to the balls of my feet. My hands are going to be at the top of the strike zone, right off my back shoulder, somewhere in here that feels comfortable for me. A couple of things about that. If I get my hands too far away from my body, I lose back control and I lose power. So I want to make sure that I get my hands close enough so that when I go to my trigger, which is my cocking action or launching position, whatever term you want to use, allows me to get to that slowly and quickly without much movement. So my hands are at the top of the strike zone. My elbows are pointing down to the ground. I know when I was coming up, I had a lot of people tell me, get that back elbow up. There's been a lot of great hitters that have played this game that hit with their back elbow up. But it does cause a loop in your bat, and especially if you're an 8, 9, 10-year-old, you don't know if you're going to be 6 feet, 200 pounds, or if you're going to be 6 feet, 150. You don't know if you're going to be a home run hitter or if you're going to be a line drive hitter. And what we'd like to try to do is build a stance that would allow you, whether you're 7 or 8 or 20 years of age, to hit the ball consistently, and then whatever God-given ability you have will take over at that point. So we're going to have our back elbows pointing down. I want to look at the pitcher with both eyes. Sometimes hitters will kind of peek around the corner and they'll tilt their head. And actually, the nose gets in the way of their back eye. So I want to rotate my head
so I'm able to see the pitcher with both eyes.
And really have that chin almost tucked behind this front shoulder. And notice how my hands are at the top of the strike zone, right off my back shoulder. Knees are slightly bent, bend at the waist.
Look at the pitcher with both eyes.
Not a bad stance to start. From this point here, a couple of things I want to mention is the bat. Angle. If I have my bat straight up and down, it's going to feel real light in my hands, but I'm going to have a tendency to loop the bat as I go to swing. And again, if you're 12 or 13, you don't know if you're going to be a guy that hits the ball out of the ballpark. You might not want that big loop in your swing. If I have the bat flat, I'm going to have a flatter swing, and it's going to allow me to go directly to the baseball. We like to split the difference. We tell our guys, get a 45-degree angle with your bat, or flat, somewhere in here that feels good. Some of our bigger guys in Tennessee will hold the bat kind of straight up and down, but those are the guys that hit the ball out of the ballpark. Whether I want my hands high, want them close to my shoulder, I can get my hands too tied up if I put my hands in here too close to my body, or if I take my hands and put them inside my shoulder. But from this position here, I've got to get them back to this position, which is my trigger stride position, which would allow me to generate some hand speed and some bat speed, which will allow the ball to jump off the bat consistently and go somewhere. So from this position here, let's review again. Let's take a look at the hands, top of the strike zone, 45-degree angle. Head, I'm looking at the hitter with both eyes. Shoulders are level. I'm not leaning back. I've probably got 60% of my weight on my back foot, 40% on my front foot. My waist is slightly bent. I'm bent at the knees. And from this position here, this is a pretty good stance to start with. Now, a couple of things about that with our stance. Let's talk a few things about preparatory movement as the pitcher's on the mound getting ready to throw the pitch. We want to do something that gets us in a rhythm, ready to hit the baseball so that we can concentrate for that split second and enable us to hit the ball consistently. The first thing that we want to think about doing is, what are we going to do with our hands? I see a lot of kids at the plate that'll do this. They'll swing their hands up and down, and really, they do that over and over. You're really not going to swing at a baseball like that. Or they'll do this to try to stay loose. And all these things are good, trying to keep yourself good and loose so that you're ready to hit. But what we'd like to try to do is eliminate one thing. In the stands, you see a lot of kids that are wiggling their bat. And probably the reason is they look on TV in the big leagues, and they see a lot of big league players wiggling their bat. But those are established hitters. They know what they're doing at the plate. A young hitter needs to get that bat still once the pitcher starts his windup. So if you're going to move your hands slightly as he starts his windup, you got to get your hands still so that you're able to go to the trigger stride. I see too much of that with guys moving their hands, and now they're moving their hands here and the bat's here, and all of a sudden they got to take their hands back. So be careful not to move your hands too much. What we do here at Tennessee is this. We want to take the head of the bat to the hitting area as quickly as possible. And what we're going to do is have a downward motion just like this as we get ready. And notice how from the stance, I go right to contact and come back. I'm doing a couple of things here that I like. One is I'm taking my eyes from the mound to the plate. So I'm training my eyes on my prep swing to hit the baseball. Right there, training my eyes. The other thing I'm doing is that your hands must go back. You must go back before you go forward. That's a principle in hitting. All good hitters do that. Your hands go back before they go forward. So notice that my prep swing, I'm getting a short, quick swing, my hands are going back, and I'm getting a little movement to the inside of my back foot, and when I make contact to the inside of my front foot. And this is a short, quick swing. You should do this while he's getting his sign, getting ready to throw. But once he starts his windup, I want to get my hands back up to the top of the zone, and I want to get them still, which will now take me into the next phase, which is the stride. Now let's talk about the stride, which I think is the most important part of the whole hitting philosophy. We've talked about a good stance. Now let's talk about the stride. The stride enables you to get your hands back in a good launching position, get your foot down, which will take you to the next phase, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, which is the swing. But the stride enables you to be in a good position to hit the baseball consistently. So the trigger stride, I think, is the most important part of hitting. You can have a great stance, you can have the best swing, but unless you're able to get that front foot down, get those hands back, cocked, in a ready position, and we use the terminology trigger. I want to take my hands back. This is actually the trigger which allows me to fire the bat at the ball and generate bat speed. All good hitters must have a trigger. They've got to have some action where their hands go back. Some people call it the launching position. Some people call it the cocking action. Some people call it the trigger. Whatever terminology you want to use, your hands must go back before they go forward. Notice, as I've got my stance, it's just as if somebody took a rubber band and put it on this wrist and attached it to that front foot. As I go to stride, I want to take those hands back, which pulls that rubber band tight and allows me to get my bat in a position at the top of the strike zone. And we say three things. We want our hands up, in, and back at the top of the strike zone. So no matter where you start your hands in your stance, whether it's inside, whether it's high, whether it's down, I must get my hands back to this position. That's why it's imperative in your stance that you get your hands close to your trigger, your cocking action, your launching position. And the reason being is so that I'm able to take my hands to this position quickly. But we tell our guys your trigger must be slow and short. So as I go to trigger, I want my hands slow and short. Trigger's only 2 to 3 inches. Paul Molitor, you can barely see his hands trigger. You'll see some other guys like Gary Sheffield that really throws the head of the bat. Anytime you've got a lot of movement or you have an extreme, you're going to have to start your trigger sooner. And when you start your trigger sooner, you must commit to the pitch a lot earlier. If you've got a short, quick trigger, you're able now to start a little later, like a Paul Molitor, and you've got more time to see whether or not it's a fastball or an off-speed pitch. So there are benefits in having a short trigger. And we tell our guys it's not a jerking action, it's a slow trigger. So as he starts his windup, I'm now going to go trigger stride. What I'm trying to do is when he gets to the top of the strike zone, that's when I want to be trigger stride. I want my front foot hitting the ground, my hands going back as he's getting ready to release the baseball. And that's what I'm going to focus on. Once I look at him, we like our guys to pick up the hitter's hat or something on his body. But then once he gets ready to pitch, we're looking for his arm slot. Is he over the top? Is he a three-quarter? Is he down under? We're looking for some type of slot, and then we're going to focus into that. That's going to be our key. Once that hand gets up, we're going to trigger stride to that point. If it's a guy that really throws hard, upper 80s, 90, 91, 92, it might be as he breaks his hands and he starts up with his leg and his hands break, that's when you're going to trigger. But each trigger is a little different from each player and from each pitcher. But basically, if you'll go rule of thumbs, when he gets his hand up ready to release the ball, that's when you want to start your trigger. And notice that my upper body, as I trigger stride, my hands are at the top of the strike zone, short and slow. Notice that my front shoulder is tucked, my knee is tucked in, and my heel is slightly off the ground. And those are the keys in the front side. We tell our guys heel, knee, shoulder. Again, shoulders in, knees in, heels off the ground, hands are at the top of the strike zone. And remember, we've pulled that rubber band tight. All right, taking your hands up, in, and back. You can either think about taking your hands back and up and in, which allows you to have a slight trigger action, or you can just think about tucking your front shoulder. Notice what happens when I tuck my front shoulder. My hands go up, in, and back. So it all depends on how you say it to the player. You can tell that young man, son, I want you to take that shoulder and tuck it, or I'd like for you to take your hands up, in, and back. Both are going to allow you to get your hands in a launching position. And notice the bat is slightly wrapped. We don't want to be back here where the head of the bat's got to go from there all the way to here, but we would like our hands slightly up, in, and back, which allows us to have a little bit of a cocking or trigger action or wrapping action, just a little bit. A little's not bad. That's way too much. So either way you want to say it, tuck the front shoulder or take your hands up, in, and back, both will allow you to get your hands to a launching position or what we call the trigger position. This is a device that I've designed that allow the player to feel the trigger action. And we have attached a rubber band, sort of like a bungee cord, to the wrist and to the front foot. And as I go to my stance, from this position here, when I go to trigger stride, notice how my heel is slightly off the ground. My knee is in, and my shoulder's tucked right behind my chin. And my hands are in a good cocking position right behind my back shoulder. This allows the player to feel that he is triggered. So many times we see kids in camp or kids here at the University of Tennessee, they'll come in and they'll go to swing and they have no trigger. They'll actually swing and they never take their hands back. So with a with putting the cord on their front foot and on the front arm, now they can feel whether or not they took their hands back. They can feel if they pulled it tight. And from this position here, now I'm in a good position to hit. So many people says, what's a lunge hitter? What's the problem in hitting? Here's the problem in hitting. The pitcher's objective is to get the hitter out in front, is to mess up his timing. That's his main objective, is if I can get him out in front on his front foot. Notice the difference between a good stride, which is trigger stride. Notice where my weight is. Probably 70% is on my inside of my back foot, 30% on the front foot. I'm in a good position ready to hit. And now I'm able to throw my hands directly to the baseball. Now let's look at a bad stride. This is where a young man has now strided. Look at where all my weight is. My weight's on my front foot, my hands have come forward, and I'm going to be very vulnerable to an outside pitch, breaking ball. But also, when you lunge at the ball and you go toward the pitcher and bring your hands forward, you actually slow down your hands and you actually jam yourself. So by being able to trigger stride and stay back, this allows me to have the type of swing that I need to hit that inside pitch. So that's one thing that we try to really emphasize here, and again, all good hitters do. That is, they have a good stance, they've got a good trigger, and they stride on the inside part of their front foot. Now, some hitters like to stride and put their whole foot down. There's nothing the matter with that. But notice, when I put all my weight on my front foot, I'm going to have a tendency to throw a little more weight to the front foot. What I want to do to compensate that is to try to take and stride to the ball of my big foot, which takes the heel off the ground. By doing this, it keeps me from putting too much weight on my front foot and allows me to stay back. Again, we talked about in the stance, wide base. The wider your base, the shorter the stride, which allows you to have 4 to 6 to 8 inch stride. And that's the perfect stride, anywhere from 4 inches to 8 inches. There's a lot of people that talk about no stride. Nothing the matter with that, where you just spread your feet out, you pick your foot up and put it down. But remember, if you're going to do that, as you pick your foot up, your foot must come down before your hands start forward toward the swing. That's a little bit about the stride. I think it's the most important part because it puts you in a position to now throw your hands at the ball. And unless you've got your hands back, weight back, foot on the ground, there's no way that you're going to be able to hit that ball consistently unless you do those things. The final phase of the three parts is the swing. That's what everybody likes to do. You know, I don't have any trouble getting my guys out here taking some extra hacks. Very difficult to get them out and teach them how to bunt or work on their bunting, but I never have trouble getting them in the cage to take an extra swing or two. It's always one more. And the reason being is the swing is the best part of the whole hitting. That's when the action takes place. That's where I've got to be aggressive and take the business end of the bat to the baseball, and I want to do that as consistent as I can because that's where the fun is. This is a pitch right down the middle, and we're using an Easton tee, which we use here at University of Tennessee, which allows us to get a lot of reps in. But for the purposes of showing where we hit pitches, we're going to use the Easton tee right here for more of a prop. The swing, a couple of things about the swing that we want to keep in mind. That is, we want a short, quick, directly to the baseball, and we want to keep it on level of the baseball as long as possible, on the same plane of the baseball. Those are our key objectives, short, quick, downward stroke. Because most of the balls that you hit, I think it's 90% that you swing under or swing at and miss, you swing under. So we want to make sure that we think about hitting the top half of the baseball right there. And again, with a good stance, a good stride, it's going to put me in a position to have a great swing and take the business end of the barrel of the bat right to the baseball as quickly as possible. Notice that my hands are at the top of the strike zone, and I'm going to start out from the trigger stride position. What I'm thinking every time I go after a baseball is that I'm thinking yes, 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 no. I'm always yes, yes, no. I'm never yes, maybe, no. Yeah. I'm always on target to hit unless the coaches give me the take sign. And then I'm going to recognize whether or not the pitch is the one I want to hit. And if it's a ball, then I'm going to say no. But I'm always thinking yes. So as my hands go from the trigger position, my hands always start in. Notice that the knob of the bat is pointing down at the ground, and the barrel of the bat is always above the hands. Once I start with the barrel of the bat pointing down and the knob pointing toward the sky, I'm going to have a loop in my swing. And that's when I'm going to have a tendency to miss the baseball. So as long as I keep the barrel of the bat above the hands, and also as I start my swing, I want my hands inside the baseball. Notice this is a pitch right down the middle of the plate, and my hands are starting inside the baseball. That means if they were outside the baseball, my hands would get out, and I would create a long swing to the ball and actually get jammed on this pitch. But with my hands inside the baseball, I'm now able to go directly to the ball and hit that ball back up the middle. If the pitch was on the inside part of the plate, I would take my hands still to the inside of the ball, and now I would throw the head of the bat, and notice how my back foot starts to pivot. I'm able to throw the head of the bat right at the ball, and I'm going to pull that ball to left field. Notice that my belly button is also pointing to left. I've used my hips. I've pivoted on my back foot, and at contact, I'm palm up, palm down from this position here. Now let's take it right back to this position here. My back foot is just starting to pivot. My hands are inside the baseball, barrels above the bat, both eyes to the ball, front foot's closed, and from this position here, I go to contact. What allows me to do that? Several things. One is I've got to have good hands. I want to have quick hands. With the upper body, I'm going to divide my body into two parts. Upper body has got to be quick. My hands have got to be quick. Lower body, which is my muscle group, strongest part of my swing is my hips. I can generate tremendous bat speed with good, strong hips. I want to think strong with my lower half. This is where you really generate a lot of bat speed. This is where you hit the ball out of the ballpark or drive the ball into the gap with good hands. Notice what happens when I just pop my hips. I'm not going to move my hands. I'm just going to pop my hips. Notice the head of the bat comes around. So look how much bat speed I use just by using my hips. Most hitters do not use their hips. The kids that we see in camp, majority of those guys get nothing out of their hips. When they go to swing, they lock their hips out, and if they were going to hit that inside pitch, they hit it with all upper body. Belly button would be pointing toward first base. What we try to get them to do, and what we try to get our hitters to do at Tennessee, is that they go to contact, I'm going to pivot on my back foot, point my shoelaces right at the pitcher, and at contact, I'm right there, which allows me to get the most out of my swing and the most out of my hips. Now notice a pitch right down the middle of the plate. I'm going to hit that a little closer, right out in front of the plate. Same swing. My hands start to come down and through. Barrel of the bat's above my hands. I'm starting to pivot on my back foot. And as I make contact, palm up, palm down. And there's a theory to that. Some people say that you lock out and your arms are straight at contact. I actually think that your front arm is slightly bent, and as you make contact, you lock it out. You get that extra little ump by throwing and locking out your front arm. So really at contact, your arm is slightly bent. And then as you drive through the ball, you push through it, you lock out, which gives you a little extra pop in your hands. So many times people have talked about wrist. Where did the wrist come into play? They rolled his wrist at the ball. You don't actually roll your wrist, because if you rolled your wrist, you'd hit a ground ball. Here's where the wrist come into play, and that's why anything that you can do to develop arm strength and develop the arm from the wrist to the tricep, anything with your forearms, squeezing a hand grip, squeezing a rubber ball, here's why it's important. When I get to this position here, wrist helped take me to the ball. Notice this action right here. See how the wrist goes straight to the ball and drive through the ball. That allows me to pop it. I'm not breaking my wrist. Remember, contact, I'm palm up, palm down. On the outside pitch, I'm going to hit that ball right off the front part of the plate or the back corner of the plate. All depends on where I'm standing in the box. For me, right here, I'm going to hit that right off the front corner of the plate, and notice I'll drive that ball to right field. Again, same mechanics. Hands are inside the baseball. From this position here, my hands will again, my back foot starts to pivot, my wrist come in, my hands come inside, barrel the bat's on top of the ball. And as I go to the baseball, notice that I'm going to drive the top half of the ball into that gap in right center. Common fault on hitting that pitch away. Most hitters will let the barrel of the bat drop, knob of the bat point toward the sky, and I'll hit the bottom half of the ball or put 3-9 rotation on it, and that's the ball that goes foul. By making one adjustment, keeping the barrel on top, and thinking top hand, Now I'm going to drive down and through that ball, and that's the ball I'm going to hit into the gap or the hard line drive between first and second, or the ball I hit out of the ballpark. It all depends on what type of hitter you are. That's the way I want to attack that outside pitch. Those are the three different pitches using basically the same mechanics. Again, on an inside pitch, at contact, I'm going to have the belly button pointing toward left field right there as I make contact. On the ball back up the middle, belly button's pointing right toward center field. On a pitch to right center, I don't rotate my hips as much, but I still use my hips, and I'm going to drive that ball to right center and pivot on my hips as much as I can, but notice my belly button is pointing to right field. This allows me to hit all three pitches using the same mechanics. There are basically three types of swings. There's a swing that I'm going to hit slightly under the ball, which is going to cause a pop-up or semi-line drive. There's a swing that I'm going to swing on top of the ball, which produces a ground ball. Or there's a swing that I drive through the baseball, which produces the line drive. This is the swing I want to talk about, the one that creates the line drive that allows you to go through the baseball. We tell our players that so many times you get to this pitch here, which is the ball you're going to hit, and from here you pull off the ball, which produces a pop-up. Or you'll get here and smother the ball and hit a ground ball. We want our guys to visualize three baseballs, just as if there was a ball here and there were two balls right behind it. I want to drive through the baseball. I'll take the ball off the tee and show you what I mean. It's just as if I get to this ball here and I'm going to hit that ball, stay on the same plane, and then when I finish, I'm going to finish with the knob of the bat pointing up and the barrel of the bat pointing down. I want to get through that baseball, which creates that line drive. You've seen guys that get their pitch and they get right here and they pull off of it and hit a pop-up. If they would have gone through the baseball, they would have drove that ball out of the ballpark or in the gap for a double or a triple or whatever it might be. We're going to talk about drills in the next section that gives you an idea of how to hit through. The power swing trainer, which is a tire drill, will show you how to get through that baseball. We'll talk about that in the next phase. But it's really essential that you hit three baseballs, or at least feel like you're hitting three, so that I get through the baseball and keep my barrel of the bat on the plane of the ball as long as possible, and then follow through. One last thing with that about the follow through. Do I hold onto the bat with two hands, or do I let go with my top hand? I think that's personal preference, and there's some bonuses for both techniques. A couple ideas. If I hold on to it with both hands, it allows me to make sure that I got everything out of my swing. Sometimes hitters will let go of the bat here, and I think they slowed down the bat a little bit on this side. So by holding on with two hands, it allows me to get the most out of the swing. But what happens sometimes is I start to swing here and come around, my head starts to pull off the baseball, which again creeps into the contact area. As the guy goes to contact, he pulls his head off just a little bit and he misses it the last 6 to 10 inches. So for that guy, he has to really maintain keeping his head down at contact, much like a golf swing. After you swing, you want to look at the divot or you want to look at the tee and keep your head down on the swing. The other rule of thumb is as he makes contact and goes through the baseball, as he starts up, he lets go with his top hand and finishes in this fashion here. A couple of points to that is it keeps my head in the hitting area. It allows me, after contact, to stay right there. Either one is correct. It all depends on whether or not it causes you, at contact, to pull off the baseball. Then that hitter, you might allow him, at contact, and as he starts his hands up, let go of the bat with the top hand. Or the guy that let go of the bat early and doesn't get the most out of his swing, make him hold on to the bat with two hands so that he's able to drive through the ball and finish in this fashion here. Also, the front foot needs to remain closed or slightly closed, either closed or at a 45 slightly closed. Once I open this front foot, I lose some hip and I lose that extra little pop in my hip. So as I trigger stride and as I go to swing, I want to keep that front foot closed and notice that the front knee is locked out. It's not bent. Notice that my back leg is perpendicular, and you could draw a straight line right up through my back leg, and I'm either on the ball of my foot or to the toe. and I'm balanced. Notice that my shoulders are balanced, my hips are balanced, head contact. I'm in a good position to drive that baseball consistently. If I get too much weight over my front foot, I become a lunge hitter, and I've committed too much weight forward. If I keep too much weight here on my back leg, I've lost a little bit. So I want to be right in between, somewhere in this area here, so that at contact, I've gone back, forward, and I've driven the ball with great hand speed, great technique, and I've gotten the most out of my body, which is my hips, hands, shoulders, wrist, which will consistently drive the ball and give you the best opportunity to be the best possible hitter you can be. Now those are the three basic areas, stance, stride, and swing, with some absolutes in each area that are going to enable you to be the best possible hitter you can be. The technique is just part of it. The last phase and the final phase is drill work, both on and off the field into cages, which will allow you to get the repetition you need to be the best possible hitter with the God-given ability that you have. Now let's go to the final stage, the drill work. Here we are with the tee station, and I have Jonathan McLuhan, who played here at the University of Tennessee. Incidentally, hit a home run his first AB here at the University of Tennessee, but we want to show you the tee and how you can use it. This is a tee made by Easton, but you could easily make one by putting a rubber tubing in a bucket of cement so that you can move it around. But this tee is great because you can move it to different heights. And as you can see, we adjust our stance to the plate, not to the batting tee. And this is a ball that Jonathan's going to drive right back up the middle. And we'll notice how he gets his stance. The ball is about the thigh high. And now he's going to take a swing with trigger stride and drive that ball right back through the net. If we wanted to hit a ball to left field or an inside pitch, we would move the ball to the inside. And of course, he's not going to hit this pitch because he would pull it down the line. We would adjust the net for an inside pitch. If he wanted to hit a ball to right field, we would adjust it to the outer half of the plate. And now he would now move and drive that ball toward right field. And you could adjust the net to hit inside pitch, ball down the middle, or pitch away. Also, you could hang a net from your garage or use it in the batting cage where you have a long net and you can adjust the tee and not have to worry about moving the net. Another drill that we use with the hitting tee is what we call the clap drill. And this is when we're working on the mechanics of a hitter, of trying to get him trigger stride to a strong position and then swing. We'll use the clap drill. And I'm going to clap once. He's going to go to the trigger stride position, which is the power position. I'm going to clap again, and then he's going to drive the ball back into the net. We'll show you what that looks like. That's probably about a curve ball as far as timing. A fast ball is going to be a little quicker, and we'll show you what that looks like. And you can easily adjust. The thing I like about this is if you're hitting, you can be your own coach. You can get a net, put the ball on the tee, swing and hit as many times as you want. And after you finish swinging, notice that Jonathan will freeze and check his mechanics. He's just going to go ahead and hit this ball, and he's going to freeze and check his mechanics. Notice how he pivoted on his back foot, firm front side, head looking down at the tee. Perfect. He's in a good position to hit. That's how we use the tee here at the University of Tennessee. And today I'm going to show you a hitting device that's out on the market, the Power Swing Trainer, that will teach you to hit the ball consistently better than any device out there on the market. I think this hitting machine, the Power Swing Trainer, is the best device on the market for teaching a hitter to keep the plane of the bat on the plane of the ball longer, which will result in more line drives, more base hits, and will cause the ball to jump off the bat. Also, this machine will allow you, as you swing the bat through the zone and drive the bat through the tires, it will allow you to have an isometric effect on your wrist and your forearms, strengthening them while you're creating a good level swing as you drive the bat through the hitting area. So, no doubt this machine will help your mechanics, but it will also strengthen your wrist and your forearms, which is a key ingredient to allowing you to hit the ball consistently and with some authority. Also, you can work on an uppercut swing if you wanted to from a right-hand hitter. And if you had a left-hand hitter in the station, we can easily move it forward for a line drive ground ball swing for a left-hand hitter, or back it up for a line drive swing. So this tire can easily be adjusted to work on three different swings for a right-hand hitter or a left-hand hitter. The bottom tire has a screw here that can tighten down on the tire to create drag or resistance, or you can just leave it loose and let the bottom tire swing. And that's, of course, to help strengthen the wrists and the forearms and to create a little drag on the bat as it pinches through the zone. And you can see very easily that you do get some resistance as you swing the bat through the zone and having to simulate really hitting three baseballs. And that's why I like this tire machine, the Power Swing Trainer, so well, is because it does cause you to have to drive the bat through the zone, and really it's like you're simulating that you're hitting three baseballs. I'm going 1, 2, 3. What a great tool. The other thing that we can do is work on the outside pitch. And so many times you get in a station and you're not able to work on all zones. This gives you every zone that you're going to try to hit out of, and also works on the outside pitch. So now you can adjust the machine real quickly, and you're now going to work on a pitch away. So as I take my normal stance, now I've got to throw the head of the bat through the zone, driving the bat through the tires and hitting a line drive ground ball to right field. And again, we could easily swing it back around for a left-hand hitter hitting the ball to left field. The other pitch that is so difficult to work on, and there's not too many devices out there or techniques or ideas to work on a curveball down and away, which is one of the nastiest pitches and usually gets a lot of guys out, is that curveball down and away. This machine will do that. Just by loosening these two screws and taking this down, we can now work on a pitch down and away. And then by taking this bottom screw out and swinging that over, we now have the pitch down and away, curveball down and away. And one of the things that is good to teach young hitters is to learn how to adjust your hands in the zone. So many times hitters will start their swing and then the curveball drops on another plane and they have a difficult time from this position here able to adjust the head of the bat and go down and get it. And this does that. This machine allows you to work on the pitch down and away. So now as I go to swing, I can drive the ball and adjust my hands and go down and get that curveball down and away. Outstanding machine. Everybody should get one of these if you want to be a great hitter. Here we have the lad back. And if you notice, Jonathan's on one knee with his other leg extended. We're going to isolate the bottom hand. And what we're trying to do is get a short, quick swing directly to the baseball without that front elbow flying, which is a common fault among a lot of hitters. That front elbow has got to be pointing down to the ground, and we've got to keep the barrel of the bat above the hands, and this allows him to isolate his lower hand and cause him to drive the ball into the net using the proper mechanics with the lower half. And we'll show you what that looks like. Now we're going to isolate the top hand, and as all he's going to do is be in the same position. I'm going to toss the ball to him, and he's going to keep his hands inside the baseball using his top hand, keeping the barrel of the bat above the ball. What this drill does is it isolates either hand and gives you the proper mechanics of that hand using the lad bat, which is a short wooden bat. Now those are the three basic areas: stance, stride, and swing. With some absolutes in each area, they're going to enable you to be the best possible hitter you can be. The technique is just part of it. The last phase and the final phase is drill work, both on and off the field into cages, which will allow you to get the repetition you need to be the best possible hitter with the God-given ability that you have. Now let's go to the final stage, the drill work. Here we are with the T-Station, and I have Jonathan McLuhan, who played here at the University of Tennessee. Incidentally, he hit a home run his first AB here at the University of Tennessee. But we want to show you the T and how you can use it. This is a T made by Easton, but you could easily make one by putting a rubber tubing in a bucket of cement so that you can move it around. But this T is great because you can move it to different heights. And as you can see, we adjust our stance to the plate, not to the batting tee. And this is a ball that Jonathan's going to drive right back up the middle. And we'll notice how he gets his stance. The ball is about thigh high. And now he's going to take a swing with trigger stride and drive that ball right back through the net. If we wanted to hit a ball to left field or an inside pitch, we would move the ball to the inside. And, of course, he's not going to hit this pitch because he would pull it down the line. We would adjust the net for an inside pitch. If he wanted to hit a ball to right field, we would adjust it to the outer half of the plate, and now he would now move and drive that ball toward right field. And you could adjust the net to hit inside pitch, ball down the middle, or pitch away. Also, you could hang a net from your garage or use it in the batting cage where you have a long net and you can adjust the tee and not have to worry about moving the net. Another drill that we use with the hitting tee is what we call the clap drill. And this is when we're working on the mechanics of a hitter, of trying to get him trigger stride to a strong position and then swing. We'll use the clap drill. And I'm going to clap once. He's going to go to the trigger stride position, which is the power position. I'm going to clap again, and then he's going to drive the ball back into the net. We'll show you what that looks like. That's probably about a curve ball as far as timing. A fast ball is going to be a little quicker, and we'll show you what that looks like. And you can easily adjust. The thing I like about this is if you're hitting, you can be your own coach. You can get a net, put the ball on the tee, swing and hit as many times as you want. And after you finish swinging, notice that Jonathan will freeze and check his mechanics. He's just going to go ahead and hit this ball, and he's going to freeze and check his mechanics. Notice how he pivoted on his back foot, firm front side, head looking down at the tee. Perfect. He's in a good position to hit. That's how we use the tee here at the University of Tennessee. And today I'm going to show you a hitting device that's out on the market, the Power Swing Trainer, that will teach you to hit the ball consistently better than any device out there on the market. I think this hitting machine, the Power Swing Trainer, is the best device on the market for teaching a hitter to keep the plane of the bat on the plane of the ball longer, which will result in more line drives, more base hits, and will cause the ball to jump off the bat. Also, this machine will allow you, as you swing the bat through the zone and drive the bat through the tires, it will allow you to have an isometric effect on your wrist and your forearms, strengthening them while you're creating a good level swing as you drive the bat through the hitting area. So, no doubt this machine will help your mechanics, but it will also strengthen your wrist and your forearms, which is a key ingredient to allowing you to hit the ball consistently and with some authority. Also, you can work on an uppercut swing if you wanted to from a right-hand hitter. And if you had a left-hand hitter in the station, we can easily move it forward for a line drive ground ball swing for a left-hand hitter, or back it up for a line drive swing. So this tire can easily be adjusted to work on three different swings for a right-hand hitter or a left-hand hitter. The bottom tire has a screw here that can tighten down on the tire to create drag or resistance. Or you can just leave it loose and let the bottom tire swing. And that's, of course, to help strengthen the wrists and the forearms and to create a little drag on the bat as it pinches through the zone. And you can see very easily that you do get some resistance as you swing the bat through the zone and having to simulate really hitting three baseballs. And that's why I like this tire machine, the Power Swing Trainer, so well, is because it does cause you to have to drive the bat through the zone, and really it's like you're simulating that you're hitting three baseballs. I'm going one, two, three. What a great tool. The other thing that we can do is work on the outside pitch. And so many times you get in a station and you're not able to work on all zones. This gives you every zone that you're going to try to hit out of, and also works on the outside pitch. So now you can adjust the machine real quickly And you're now going to work on a pitch away. So as I take my normal stance, now I've got to throw the head of the bat through the zone, driving the bat through the tires and hitting a line drive ground ball to right field. And again, we could easily swing it back around for a left-hand hitter hitting the ball to left field. The other pitch that is so difficult to work on, and there's not too many devices out there or techniques or ideas to work on a curveball down and away, which is one of the nastiest pitches and usually gets a lot of guys out, is that curveball down and away. This machine will do that. Just by loosening these two screws and taking this down, we can now work on a pitch down and away. And then by taking this bottom screw out and swinging that over, we now have the pitch down and away, curveball down and away. And one of the things that is good to teach young hitters is to learn how to adjust your hands in the zone. So many times hitters will start their swing and then the curveball drops on another plane and they have a difficult time from this position here able to adjust the head of the bat and go down and get it. And this does that. This machine allows you to work on the pitch down and away. So now as I go to swing, I can drive the ball and adjust my hands and go down and get that curveball down and away. Outstanding machine. Everybody should get one of these if you want to be a great hitter. Here we have the lad back. And if you notice, Jonathan's on one knee with his other leg extended. We're going to isolate the bottom hand. And what we're trying to do is get a short, quick swing directly to the baseball without that front elbow flying, which is a common fault among a lot of hitters. That front elbow has got to be pointing down to the ground, and we've got to keep the barrel of the bat above the hands, and this allows him to isolate his lower hand and cause him to drive the ball into the net using the proper mechanics with the lower half. And we'll show you what that looks like. Now we're going to isolate the top hand, and as all he's going to do is be in the same position. I'm going to toss the ball to him, and he's going to keep his hands inside the baseball, using his top hand, keeping the barrel of the bat above the ball. What this drill does is it isolates either hand and gives you the proper mechanics of that hand using the lad bat, which is a short wooden bat.